In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we begin with again, with the writings of Louisa. Okay, hold on one second. Okay, and what we have today is volume 20, November 23rd, 1926. Okay, hold on one second. No, volume 24, June 12th, 1928. All right. I knew that didn't sound right. Okay, hold on one second here. This is always fun. Last night I got to bed real late, like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm saying, I'm not going to wake up. I put myself in the hands of the angels and said to the holy angels, you got to get me up. You know, that's their job. You know, they got to get me up. And what happened was, I got up at 20 of, so 20 minutes ago I woke up. It really puts my day at a disadvantage, and really for you guys especially. 24:12:28. Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. Great, God is so good. And Peter sent me. I read this morning. The true quote, the full quote of Joan of Arc, and that was the true quote of Joan of Arc. Don't tell me, Peter. It reminded me of Father Capitano, the Marine priest who was killed in Vietnam, who's up for sainthood. Oh, Peter, what was it again? It was something. It was
the last. Let me see if I can bring it up, Father, because I don't remember the exact vernacular myself. But
three parts to it. The last part was, "I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
I am not afraid, for God is with me. I was born for this."
Born for this time. And the last part was, God is with me. And that's the words of Father Capitano to the, before he was killed. And it's true. God is with us. That's the greatest thing, not to be afraid. We are born for this time and God is with us. So anyways, here we are in volume 24, June 12th, 1928. My daughter, my divine will can do anything and everything. This is what we have to understand. What God is bringing us to, we're talking about the light of the divine will, okay? What God is bringing us to, let's look at Joan of Arc. This light emanated from her, but it was a halo. So it was a nimbus of light around her head. She understand the truth. Very, very clear. I'm not afraid. I was born for this time, and God is with me. God is with me. This light is just a nimbus. The light of the divine will radiates through the whole body. And now why the difference? The difference is the saints had a understanding of doing the will of God. But what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa was how to live in the divine will, how to enter into this abundant life, how to really begin to possess the image and likeness of God. And this light is emanating from the whole body. Just like when you see Jesus appear, there's always a radiant light around him. When Our Lady appears, there's always this radiant light around Our Lady. And the new Adam and the new Eve show the light that was around Adam, but more so than what came to Adam. Why? because Jesus is now the new Adam. Mary is now the new Eve. And what they fill Louisa up with, this light, this love, this life of God, is the divine will. And then Jesus says to us, my divine will can do anything. He says, my divine will can do everything. So this light that we're entering into, the no eye is seen, no ear is heard. Adam's dead, but no fallen human has ever entered into this light. Why? Because we're returning to the womb of the Father. We're returning back to that abundant life that our God wants us to possess. So just as it made man from nothing, and so it can draw the new man from his miseries. Okay, so here Jesus gives this light for us to live in. As God made man out of dust, nothing, it can draw the new man from all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. So what we're getting ready for, is the new heavens and the new earth. This is what the new man is going to possess, the new heavens and the new earth. When you see new, we have to see the word God. God is ever new, ever young. And this is why this coming Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but the Ascension Thursday, it's to make this vow. Okay, the vow that we're going to make, Jesus said to Louisa, this is the best day to make it because I'm ascending into heaven. Let me take this, we're remembering, he's ascending into heaven. Let's take this human misery, our human will, and giving it to the Lord, promising him, what are we promising him? We're promising him that we're going to die to our ego and our will. We're going to die to worry. We're going to die to fear. We're going to die to anxiety. We're going to die to negativity. We're going to die to sin. It's not going to be part of us anymore. That life is, we want gone. This new and abundant life, this light, this love, this life of God that God breathed into Louisa, the newborn, we want that in exchange. So as we remember Jesus ascending into heaven, leaving earth and saying, I'm going to return, basically the angel said, I'm going to return. He's going to return in the same way that he left. As we're in this era where Our Lady says, everything is changing. The time has now come to an end. Our time here in this state, this fallen state, we have been redeemed by Jesus. Our Lady was with Jesus, co-redeeming him with him on Calvary. And now it's a new beginning. This light, this divine science, this new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II said, we're going to enter into. He prophesied this using the words of St. Honorable de Francia. This divine will that made man out of nothing is now going to draw the new man from his misery, from the darkness, from this worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So what we have to practice is how to live without misery. What we have to practice is how to live without worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's to begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus continues, without changing method from the way in which we created Adam, leaving Adam his free will, we, triune God, will use another loving device. So what we hear is God is doing this miracle, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, living in the divine will. He wants to give this gift to humanity with the same love that he had in creating Adam, breathing this rule of God, this breath of God into the dust. Out of the dust came the image and likeness of God. And Jesus says, we're going to do the same thing. We don't change. God created Adam, leaving him with his free will. And God used this loving device of breathing into this dust. And out of the dust came the image and likeness of God. This is what God's going to do again. We'll use another loving device. He says, the light of our divine will shall unleash its most refulgent rays more strongly than when he breathed into the dust, and out of the dust came Adam. So this is why he says to Louisa, I'm going to make my children my divine masterpiece. This masterpiece is to please God. It's a masterpiece that Jesus says, when I see a soul living in the divine will, I go into ecstasy. Now, we want to live in the divine will. That's one of the things we're looking for. But Jesus tells Louisa, there is going to be this day when we are going to witness this. There's going to be this day when he says that, I think in volume 24, all of a sudden the kingdom will be here and people will say, how did this happen? How did the kingdom of God happen? What occurred to bring this about? We're going to be very curious. Why? How did the kingdom, what happened? And Jesus says it happened because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. So we haven't seen anything yet. But we're very close. We're very close to this great outpouring of the divine will, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that is because what Jesus says, to prove that this is coming, I've given you the book of heaven. And those who want it, those who study it, begin to live heaven on earth. They begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. They begin to live a life of no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. That which bothered them before cannot bother them now. What happened? As we're listening to Jesus, as he's teaching us each day when we're reading the volumes, Jesus himself is teaching us. And we're hearing his word. And just like Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, but didn't recognize him, but recognized him when he spoke to her, she recognized his voice. You know, the gospel yesterday was, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to me and follow me. As we read, we begin to recognize the voice of Jesus. And we don't hear it with our ears. We hear it with our heart, our mind, our soul. We hear it with our three powers, intellect, memory, and will. And as we enter into this life, there's nothing more beautiful than the voice of Jesus. There's nothing more beautiful than recognizing God. And that's what Jesus said. The greatest gift that I can give humanity is that they know who they are and who I am. Who are they? Who, what are we? We're nothing. We're dust. And the Spirit of God breathed into us the image and likeness of God. Who is God? He's everything. So our life isn't how, oh, we're nobody, we're nobody, we're nobody. It's no, how great God is, how beautiful God is, how holy God is, how pure God is, how much life and light and love is God. And this illumination of conscience that we're having, and that's what the divine will is. If you want to know what the divine will is, if you want to know what's coming, read the book of heaven. The illumination of conscience is, we begin to understand who we are and who God is. And who we are, we're dust. Yet God breathed into the dust his image and likeness, and that's what's coming back. He's breathed into us our free will, and he says, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live in your misery? Or do you want to begin to live again in the divine will as I breathed into Adam? Do we want to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve? And when we say, yes, God goes, good. And he goes, prove it. That's the interesting part. To prove it is to read every day. And even if it's a sentence, you're hearing Jesus. He's changing you. His word is so powerful that our intellect, memory, and will is changing as we hear him speak. Again, you're not hearing it with our ears. So our God has got great, great plans, and he needs us to cooperate, because like the two on their way to Emmaus, they saw Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. But they recognize him in the breaking of bread. What Jesus says to us with the book of heaven is, this is the first bread. This is the first bread is the bread of the divine will. This is the food that Jesus ate, that Mary ate, the food that Louisa ate. She didn't eat, drink, or sleep regular food for, as Archbishop Piccieri says, 70 years. So God is asking us, he's breaking this bread with us. We're reading, we're studying, we're putting into practice these truths that Jesus breathed into Louisa. And as we read them, as we digest them, as he says, masticate each word, we begin to understand this Jesus who is revealing himself to us. That's why I love the Book of Heaven. It's there's no other book like it, Jesus says. This is the only book that will transform a soul. So what are we transformed into? It's really transmutation. It's the inside and the outside of the element changes into a completely different element. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, this negativity that's within us and around us disappears. The peace, the joy, the happiness of God enters in and is all around us. That's heaven. And that's why Jesus says, prove it. You want this gift? Live the life of heaven, no longer the life of misery. He says, basically to Louisa in the letter that St. Honorable de Francia asked Louisa to give to the world from Jesus. What does Jesus want from us? What does Jesus want to do? And this is what he said in 1924 to Louisa. And Louisa wrote what Jesus told her. And he says, I'm tired of waiting for you. And since you haven't come after me, Jesus says, I'm going to come after you. This life, this light, this not a nimbus, not a halo, but this light of Jesus, this light of Mary is filling Louisa. And our God is saying, get ready. I am ready to bring about the new heavens and the new earth with the new Jerusalem and breathing into man a new man, leaving him free to say yes to God or no. But Jesus says, who would ever be willing to say no to me? So what we're going through, everything on earth today, is preparing us to leave this misery and to enter into heaven, the joy of heaven. That's what Our Lady said to Bruno. She said, my children are going to enter into eternity, and they're going to participate in the beatific vision. That's where they belong. That's where we belong. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. See, the beatific vision is our life, to be in God's presence, to be in awe of God for all eternity. And then God says, I want you to possess as much of me as you wish. And since God is infinite and we are finite, he says it's like filling a cup to overflowing. This abundant life is what he's offering to humanity again through this little newborn Louisa. And listen to what he says. The light of our will shall unleash the most refulgent rays more strongly, and it will draw close in such a way as to look at the human will in the face, and the human and will receive the enchantment of a penetrating light that, while dazzling in it, the sweetly drawing itself to the soul. So here, where it says what we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. Scripture says this, but what we do know is we are going to become like him, because we're going to see him as he is. So what's happening now is God is saying to the world, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. So you have those screaming for death. You have those screaming for misery. They want misery. They have them screaming blasphemies against Jesus and Mary, because this is what they want. It's they're mirroring the evil one, hissing, at the evil one. And our job, I mean, if we really want God, is to begin to live heaven on earth, to begin to live this. And Jesus said that the world is going to say, how did this happen? And it happened because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. So our job, really living, is to really begin to live heaven on earth. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. This is the vow that we're praying for on that we're going to make on Ascension Thursday. We don't want this miserable human life anymore. We want to live the life that God wants us to live. We want to possess the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem in the new man. We to become what God wanted from the beginning. And see, God wins. God wins. So when we experience something like Joan of Arc, it's very, very clear. What she said is so true. I'm not afraid. That, those are the words of John Paul II. Be not afraid. This, the first words of Pope Benedict is be courageous. You must have courage. And when you read the divine will, that's another thing I think we'll do someday. What does courage mean in the divine will? What does courage mean? That one word is so filled with the life that we're supposed to have and in this darkness that we're in. And not to continue to live in the with the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, but entering into this life of peace, joy, and happiness. So then she says, I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. We have to remember, we were predestined to be given the book of heaven. God knew what he was doing. He knew from the beginning of time that this was going to be our life. And he says, I'm really expecting to see humanity turning. And he's expecting that of us. No more misery, no more worry, no more fear. It's to trust in God. And then finally, God is with me. Those are the words of Father Capodanno on the battlefield. It is very, very true that God is with us. And he said that to that Marine who was recently alive. I hope he still is. But said to the Marine, God is with us today. We have to understand that what we have to go through, what we have to go through is something that is glorious. And we have to see everything from a divine perspective. If we see it from a human perspective, it could be overwhelming. God doesn't want to overwhelm us. God wants us to understand that what he has planned is necessary for us to go through, because we have been offered the greatest gift to humanity. If the saints were offered to learn how to do the will of God, we are learning how to live in the will of God. And this living in the will of God has to become our life. It has to be everything in us. As Jesus says, the divine will is everything. It can do anything. It is everything. And he's asking us to enter into this life. So what does he say to us? He says, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love, this infinite ocean of light, this infinite ocean of love. He wants us to dive into this. And then he says, and drown, die to everything that is not of this life, this light, this love of God. Our life is to be one with God. That's our life, one with God, fused with God. So when we do our prevening act in the morning, we always say to God, always, I want to be fused with you, triune God. So Jesus says to us, and this is a conversation that he has with us, how are you going to fuse yourself with God? And it's, well, the way you taught Louisa is to fuse yourself with you, Jesus, Mary, through Louisa. God goes, good. He says, now, why do you want to do this? And it's the rounds of creation, the round of redemption. We pray the round of creation. We pray the round of redemption. That is our life. What is praying the rounds? Adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. That is heaven. That's our life. To begin to live heaven on earth by living this life, this light, this love of God, we are calling the divine will on earth. And that's the mission of Louisa. So we are working, as Jesus says, this is the greatest work that a human could possibly do, working with Jesus, Mary, through Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So the evil one has to flee, because when the kingdom of God comes on earth, the devil has to be gone. He has to be gone. Heaven is coming to earth. He's been banished from heaven. When heaven comes to earth, he'll be banished from earth. So Jesus says, it will draw close in such a way as to look at the human will in the face and will receive the enchantment of the penetrating light that, while dazzling the human will, draws itself draws the human will to itself. Okay, so God says that the universe was made for man. The human will was made for God. How do we live in God's image and likeness? How do we do this? How do we become, as Jesus said, perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect? It's by living in the divine will. Now, nobody possesses it fully, because if you did possess it fully, you would have no sin. But what God is asking is he's asking us to get ready for that day that's coming. Get ready for that day where all of the world is going to participate in God. The evil one will be gone. Everything will be peace, joy, and happiness. Everything will be heaven. And so he gives us the way and the how, and the way and the how is to read, study, and put this into practice. Jesus says, and the human will, attracted by a divine light so radiant and of rare beauty, will have the desire to see what is so beautiful in this light. The human misery is going to be gone. The human will is going to say, I want to enter into this radiant light of rare beauty. I have the desire to see what is so beautiful in this light. It's God. It's to enter into and to see God. And as we said, what we are is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. But what we do know is we're going to see God and become like him. To see this beauty that is so radiant, so rare. This is God. And in looking, the human will undergo the enchantment. The human will feel happy. The human will feel love, not being forced, but spontaneously to live, Jesus says, in our most holy divine will. This is what's happening when we read. When we read, we are reading this rare book, radiant book, filled with light. And it makes us so happy when we're reading. We're getting a glimpse of heaven. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, God keeps expanding our capacity to begin to embrace him, to become a one with him. Again, this is why we're focused on the prime act of God, the single act of God. It's to enter into that life and participate in God. This is happening little by little by little. This is the great step. It's the great way. It's little steps that we're taking to begin to live this abundant life. And we're not being forced, but Jesus says spontaneously to live in the divine will. When we really are reading, when we're really reading, not just some people have said to me, well, I read 36 volumes. Now what do I do? It's like, read it again. You missed the whole thing. Each word is a divine life. Each word is a divine life. Each word is filled with divine love. And as you read this, you enter into this life. I mean, think about it. What did the two on the way to Emmaus say? They said, were not our hearts filled on fire as he spoke to us, explaining the scriptures to us? That's what happens with us when we read the book of heaven. Our hearts are on fire. And it's so magnificent of what God is teaching us. We have never read it before. And then we read the same sentence again, and it's brand new because God keeps expanding the understanding. He expands it more. And we read it again, and he goes, you haven't seen this one, man. He expands us more, and we go, how? You are so amazing. And then we read it again, and he expands it more. So our focus isn't on the things of this earth. Most people spend their time focused on sports. I listened to this one man years ago. He was a sports announcer, and he says, I had a choice in my life, sports or God. He says, I chose sports. And then he went through the list. This guy does this. This guy does that. This guy's on this team. This guy, he went on. And I was astonished by what he knew. But he knew nothing about the love of God, the light of God, the love of God, this life. He knew nothing about it. He was completely in the dark. See, we have to switch gears. The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is giving us the way and the how this is going to happen, but he's asking us, are you ready to live this abundant life? Do you want to live this abundant life? And when we say yes, he says, prove it. Prove it. Where's your focus? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it Mary? Is it this little newborn? Well, where's your focus? And when we explain to him, and we usually explain to him where our focus is when we go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to be free of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. I want to be free of that. This is the reason why what we're doing right now, getting ready for the vow, is so essential. It's to say to God, I'm going to promise I'm going to do this. I'm going to, in one way or another, stop all the worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, and begin to live the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. I want this life of Jesus. I want this life of Mary that they breathed into Louisa. I want this. I don't want anything else. So Jesus says this, does the light of the sun not have this virtue that if one fixes his eyes on it, the pupil of the human eye remains dazzled in the light. And if it tries to look at something else, it sees nothing but light. And the power of this light prevents the pupil from looking at the things around it. We are dazzled. We're blinded by the light, this the light of the sun. And Jesus says, if man is forced to lower his eyes to be free of the light, it is because the excess light hinders him and he does not feel happy. But if he felt happy, he would not easily withdraw his pupils from within the light of the sun. Now, a lot of people have been given this gift of looking at the sun. I remember the first time somebody said, look at the sun. I go, you know, and it was a great blessing. I don't do that often because, you know, my eyes are bad enough as it is. But God wants us to look at this dazzling light of the divine will. He's saying, what I'm going to show you, this light isn't going to hurt you. This light isn't going to blind you. He says, on the other hand, Jesus says, the light of my divine will shall not hinder the pupils of the soul. See, everything we have to begin to understand, everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. And we have to begin to see what is of God and what is not of God. We have to understand this. So who produces, you know, movies? Who produces music? Who produces sports? What's the goal of all of this? You know, why do we do this? Did you know before Louisa, there really wasn't sports? They had wrestling, they had running. It was after Louisa was born that the evil one said, we're going to make sure people have something to do other than the divine will, because they knew what was coming. The devil knew. Once people become aware of the writings of Louisa, which are it's the words of Jesus and Mary, they will be focused on this. This will be their life. So what do you have now? You have on Sunday, where are the youth? Hockey, football, tennis, soccer, golf. They're not there on Sunday because their life is filled. Let's just look at the spirit. What spirit? I mean, it's God bless them. You know, I remember when CYO came in, that was our downfall, I really believe. I remember Sunday, the blue laws were in effect. No shopping on Sunday. They had maybe one store open where you can get the Sunday paper, but that was about it. Drugstores weren't open. Nothing was open on Sunday. And then one day, our pastor came in and said, we've been told you guys let's cheer the basketball game this afternoon. And the kids would be there, you know, in their uniforms, basketball uniforms. The cheerleaders would be there. They'd be all sitting in the front row where the nuns usually sat. And everybody would cheer in church and go, yeah, let's go to the game. And it was the beginning of the end of Sunday. It seemed like a good thing, but we didn't keep holy the Sabbath. It became a sports day. And even today, if you want to be part of a league, your league celebrates its joy on Sunday. And again, that's not where we're supposed to be. See, Jesus is saying, what do you want? Prove what you want to me. I have to give you what you want. And so the very first thing we learn in the book of heaven is keep holy the Sabbath. Then what do we do when we go to Holy Mass? We're there early for Mass, and we stay after Mass to adore God and love God. We're in communion with God if we are in the state of grace and received Holy Communion. We're one with God. And this is the greatest time during the whole day, is being in communion with God. Because he says to Louisa, the reason I gave this to the church, the Eucharist, is to prepare them for the perennial communion that they're going to receive in heaven on earth. The perennial communion that will never end. Our communion ends after 15 minutes when the host dissolves. So Jesus is saying to us, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Get ready for the new day. Get ready for the new Jerusalem in the new man. This is what God is asking. So he says, the light of my divine will does not hinder the pupils of the soul. On the contrary, the soul will have the good of seeing the very human acts converted into divine light. We're going to see this. And will yearn for this light to unleash its rays more strongly so as to see the acts that we do with the enchantment and the beauty of divine light. So we're not going to see things ordinarily anytime. It can't be ordinary. It's got to be divine. So Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to show you how to live this divine life. Of peace, joy, and happiness. How to live this divine life of knowing I have no fear. Knowing we're courageous because God is allowed us to live at this time, knowing that we were born for this time, knowing that the final part is God is with us. God is with us. It's that's why Jesus said to Louisa, Christmas is every day. God is with us every day, if we wish. You can't be happy separated from God. True happiness is holiness. And that's why the three promises to Abraham is so essential when we read the breviary every morning, the Canticle of Zechariah. The promise to Abraham was to be freed from the enemy. We were freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross, shedding every drop of blood for our redemption. Then we were free to worship God without fear. We can go to Holy Communion, receive the Lord God Almighty, and not be terrified. It's holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts that we're receiving. And then finally, and this is where we are, the first two are done. The first two promises have been completed. The final promise is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. But it says, we are going to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. This means that it's not the human misery anymore. It's God dwelling in us. It's us with God, God with us. It's heaven on earth. It's not being separated from heaven. It's living this peace, this joy, this happiness on earth. So God, we're going to witness some things that are going to be pretty tough. And our job is to be confident in God, trusting in him, believing in him, hoping in him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And if we don't meditate on Christ crucified, if we don't meditate on the Lord and his crucifixion, if we don't read the 24 hours of the Passion and have it become part of our life, we're not going to know the love of God. We're going to say what most people are saying. Why is this happening to me? What did I do? Why me? You know, it's God is purifying us. God is getting us ready for heaven. And in the divine will, we take the place of all of humanity. When we pray, God hears our voice in every human being, praying the prayers of the divine will. See, we pray in the name of everyone and everything. It's a complete renewal of the face of the earth. This is why we're alive. Let's pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of the cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.